I want to talk to you for the next few moments. I want to talk to you about overcoming discouragement, and I want to talk to you basically about what I do every day, how I start my day every single day. And I want to read you a couple of scriptures out of Ephesians first, and then we're going to go over to Matthew. So Ephesians chapter 4, 23 is going to come on the screen. I'm going to give you kind of the verse before that and the verse after that. But it talks about in Ephesians 4, 22. It says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Everybody say spirit. So it's not just a renewing of the mind that we know is so crucial in our walk with God, but it also talks about that we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. If you look this word up in the Greek, it actually means attitude. Some of your translations might actually say to be renewed in the attitude of your mind. Or in other words, the way that you engage God, the way that you engage yourself, the way that you start your day. And this passage here has to do with starting our day, because look what it says in the verse before that. It talked about that we're to put off our former conduct. Then we need to get the right attitude in our mind. And then in verse 24, it says, and that you put on, everybody say put on, that you put on the new man that's created, that which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So it's actually talking almost like clothes, like there's something that you need to put off. That's the old man. That represents our propensity to sin. And you know what it says about the old man? It says that the old man here, he grows. He grows in corruption. If you ever, you know, not to think on bad stories or stuff like that, but you might have known someone, maybe even a minister or someone that was a Christian for a long time, and then all of a sudden something gets exposed in their life, and you're like, man, how in the world did that person end up doing that? And if you know what I'm talking about, you're like, man, I can understand this or this, but I mean, this is just way out there. But that's because the Bible says that actually our propensity to sin, the way that we can be corrupted, it actually grows. Even though we're not walking in that, that's what Jesus was talking about when he says, look, when an evil spirit leaves a guy, if that evil spirit ever comes back, in other words, that's why we need to make sure that our houses are full of the Holy Spirit. You need to get your temple occupied. Because if that demon ever comes back and he finds that that house is not being occupied, he's not just going to take up residence there, but what is he going to do? He's going to take seven spirits even more wicked than himself. And the end of that man is going to be worse than the beginning. So that's what it's talking about, that our old man can actually grow. So we need to keep it away. We need to keep it off. We need to get the right attitude of our mind, and we need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say, put on. I want you to think about it this way. You know, when you got up this morning, every single one of you got dressed. In other words, there were clothes that you what? You put on. You know why you put on those clothes? Because if you left your house naked, that wouldn't be a good thing. If you left your house naked, first of all, it's not only not good for you, it's not good for us. It's not good for society. You're going to get arrested. People are going to think you're crazy. You're going to be an embarrassment to your family. All of us, when we get up, watch this. We have the right attitude in our mind that before we leave our house, we better what? We better get dressed. We better put on some clothes. And we not only put on clothes, but what do? We kind of get ourselves ready. Come on, ladies, you do your hair and you do your makeup. And you do your hair, and you do your makeup, and you do your hair, and you do your makeup, and you do. And your clothes, and more clothes, and you don't have nothing to wear, and you more outfits. And when will this ever end? You look great. You're so pretty. Can we leave? I'm not saying that from experience. I was just And then some of us, I mean, we hopefully most of us brush our hair. Some of us don't, but I mean, most of us do. Hopefully most of us brush our teeth. Most of us shower, we put on deodorant. Why? Because we don't want to repel people when we come into contact with them. So what do? We've just gotten into a habit in our culture, in our society, that look, before we go out, we put on some clothes and we put on the right things so that we don't repel people. Can I tell you this? It is just as, if not more important, to get spiritually dressed every morning as it is to be physically dressed. And if we could renew the attitude in our minds and understand that every day when we get up, we've got to get spiritually dressed just like we get physically dressed. Why? Because when we go out, we don't want to hurt people. We don't want to embarrass ourselves. We don't want to repel people with our selfish, greedy, cranky, grumpy. I'm just telling you how I am. I'm telling you how I am. If I don't put on Jesus, you don't want to be around me. What if this? What if we just spent as much time getting spiritually dressed in the morning as we do getting physically dressed? Not more time, just as much time. What if we just spent half the amount of time getting spiritually dressed every morning as we do getting physically dressed? What if, just like when we woke up, it was a habit? Brush your teeth, brush your hair, take your shower. Not necessarily in that order. Come on, guys. You know what I've done in my older age? I just put it all in the shower. I got my toothbrush. I got shaving. I got everything I need. When I walk out the shower, I'm done. I can't remember all those things. What if how we're in a habit of getting dressed and taking care of ourselves in the morning physically, what if we got in that same habit where when we woke up, we had the same thought like before? I cannot leave the house until I put on Jesus and get spiritually dressed. That's what this scripture is talking about, how you've got to train your mind. This is new. You're a spiritual person now. You're not just a physical person now. So you need to get into the habit of putting on Jesus so that old man doesn't start to surface and repel everybody with his spiritual BO. I'm preaching now. Look what they gave me while I was gone in Africa. Stairs. I'll come down. I'll come out. I'll find you out there. I'll find you. All you people in that back left corner over there that think you're safe every service, I got stairs now. I can get to the back in just a couple of seconds. Let me hear it. Let me hear it. Give it up. Hey, all of you back there, let me hear an amen. I don't ever. Y'all need to get louder in church. See, if y'all give me some good amens, I won't think I need to come back there. I'll think everybody's on the up and up. All right, so go to Matthew. Go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. And Jesus says here in Matthew 6, verse 9, he basically, when he taught us to pray here, we're going to look at just the very first part of the Our Father prayer. And when Jesus taught us this prayer, he was teaching us how to retrain ourselves, how to get the right attitude in our mind every single day. Every single day that we approach God and we have this right attitude and we get spiritually dressed in the proper way. How many of you are familiar with the Our Father prayer? I mean, you know this one, right? I mean, I remember when I was a little boy and my parents would drag me to church a few times a year. This was the one thing that I knew. I mean, I'd be sleeping. I mean, church was boring. I just whatever. But when the Our Father came, it was my moment to fake out my parents. So, you know, they'd start, you know, Our Father, and all of a sudden, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Those things against us. Lead us not into temptation, for thine is the kingdom of power and glory forever and ever and ever. The service is ever and ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Can we leave? Can we leave? Football's on. I did it. I said it. I love the Our Father. Seriously, like when I played football, the Our Father was always the prayer that we would pray. When the coach, you might see that on the teams, like when the coach prays, especially if they're not a Christian coach, they just don't know what to do. So they're like, let's pray. So everyone's like, Our Father, Lord in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. And then it comes out like that. But listen, this prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, it's not just something to be repeated. It's not just something that's repetitive. This is a very powerful way that God specifically designed so that we would get in the right frame of mind, have the right attitude in our mind. It's something that we can pray every single day that gets us in the right attitude how to get spiritually dressed. You can pray the Our Father, but the Our Father, you can engage God. It's almost like an outline that no matter where you are, no matter what time of day, man, you can instantly engage God. And it's very important. I'm not going to get into the rest of the verses. I've preached on these before at different times. But I want to focus on the first part of this prayer. Because the first part of this prayer, this is how I start every single day of my life, including today. It is so, so powerful. It is so, so necessary. It is the first step to putting on the Lord Jesus. And every day, I want to say this, as soon as you get up every single day, your number one priority is you. Now, let me define that. Your number one priority when you get up is you have to get yourself happy in God. You've got to fight the good fight of faith. You have got to find a way when you get up not to let your mind gravitate towards all your problems, towards all your challenges, towards all your pain. Now, our minds, though, instantly start to go to what we think is wrong with our lives, what we think is wrong with the other people in our lives, what we think is wrong with the world. Instantly, that's where the human mind will go. Well, listen, God doesn't want you to focus on what you think is wrong with you, what you think is wrong with the people around you, or what you think is wrong with the world. God wants you to focus on what's right about Him and what's right about God and what's right about your relationship with God. Give you an eternal perspective. Watch this. Everybody look at all our locations. Look up here. Watch this. I want everybody to look at this room. No, turn around. Stop looking at me. Don't look at each other. Look around. I want you to look at the walls. I want you to look at the ceiling. I want you in all of our campuses, wherever you're watching today, I want you to picture the room that you're in, like this represents eternity. Everybody looking. So let's take this room right now. Annex, you look at your room. Campus is the same way. Look around. This whole room represents eternity. Look at the back. Look how, it's a pretty big room here. Look at all. This represents eternity. Okay? Watch this. I don't know how far can these cameras follow me. Can y'all follow me over here? It might get dark over there. Watch this. This is eternity. All right? Let me show you your entire life on earth. Are you ready? Can y'all get me? I'm in the dark, so I'm going to keep talking. But I want to go to this wall. I don't know if they can get me over here. Hey! You give our cameraman a hand. Hey! Watch. This is your entire life. Now look around this room. This is eternity. But your entire life on earth, I can't even word it. It's somewhere in here. It's there it is. It's a speck. It's a speck. You know that bumper sticker called Salt Life? We need to get a bumper sticker called Speck Life. Look around. Look. Listen, look around. This is eternity, but our entire life on earth is that tiny speck on that wall. And if you really want to talk about it, then imagine a million of these buildings and a zillion of these buildings. And then your life on earth is still just that one speck. This is what James talked about. He said, your life on this earth, it's like a vapor. Amen. It's a speck. It's here 1 second. And then it's gone. So how important is it that during our brief time on this earth, we live for the true life, we live for eternity, we live for our real life, and don't spend all of our energy focusing on our own preferences and our comfort? Jesus said, if you just give a glass of water in my name, you will certainly not lose your reward. I want my speck life to count. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. How stupid would I be? I got a good amen for that. Amen. How stupid would I be if I lived my entire existence for the speck and missed out on eternity? That's why we got to get in the right frame of mind. And this is what Jesus taught us to pray in the Our Father. Let me give you three things and then we'll close. You've got to fight to get happy in God. You've got to fight to get above the fray in your life. You've got to fight to get the strength and comfort of God even when you're going through tremendous pain. Because guess what? We need for your life to count. We need for you to make a difference and expand God's kingdom. Make it count. You've got to fight to get happy in God every day. If you're not happy in God, you're not going to make anybody else happy in God. Are you following me? Here's how to get spiritually dressed. You ready? Jesus said this. Look at Matthew 6:9. Thank you for this pen. This is a nice, it's a nice pen here. Matthew 6:9. Do you want it back? Where did I take this from? Eventually. I'm not stealing unless I take it away. Okay, so Matthew 6:9. Come on, you know what it says. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Here's how I start every single day of my life, including today. This is how I get spiritually dressed every single day. I focus on the goodness. Everybody say goodness. The greatness. Everybody say greatness. And the glory of God. Everybody say glory. I focus on those three things. Those are the three things that Jesus brings up here in the first line of the Our Father prayer. The first one, the way he starts off is what? Our Father. In other words, I'm a child of God. You're a child of God. Jesus is telling us to focus first on the goodness of God. It's the first thing we put on. The right mindset, focusing on the goodness of God. Here's what you have to know. This is what the entire epistle of 1 John is about. It's about him writing to the church saying, you have to know these things. You have to get these things down before we can move further. And they're all about the love of God. You have to know that all your sins are forgiven. You have to make that a reality every day of your life. You get up, our Father, Father, I focus on your goodness right now. I thank you that all of my sins are forgiven. All of your past, all of your present, all of your future sins are totally forgiven. You are completely justified in the sight of God. You are forgiven. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. The day that you received Christ Jesus as Lord, you chose not to walk after the flesh any longer. You are forgiven. You are not condemned. You are a child of God. You have to know this. First John, that's what he says. My little children, you have to know this. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's a propitiation for our sins. You have to know that all of your sins are forgiven. The second thing you have to know is you have to know that you have eternal life. You have to remind yourself, my home is not here, it's in heaven. That's what 1 John says. I'm writing this so that you may know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Don't ever think about it again. You may know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have everlasting life. When we focus on the goodness of God, man, we're forgiven. We have eternal life. We're a child of God. We walk in the grace of God. We have the favor of God, not because of what we did or not because of what we've done or haven't done, but because of what Jesus did on the cross 2,000 years ago. Listen to me. God is for you. He does not just tolerate you. He is for you. He wants to bless you. He wants to move in your life. He wants to show himself strong on your behalf. He is for you. He loves you. You're forgiven. You have eternal life. And no matter what you're facing, you can know that you're a child of God. And I'm telling you what, that is something to celebrate every single day of your life. It's the good news. It's the gospel. That's the goodness of God. But if you're like me, guess what? That's awesome. God, I'm glad that you love me. I'm glad that I'm your child. I'm fired up. I'm going to heaven. But you know what? I've got some real problems today. I've got some real things that I'm facing. I have some real challenges. And so we just don't stop with the goodness of God, but we go to the next and we focus on the greatness of God. Jesus said, our Father, who art in heaven. It's talking about the graces, the greatness of God. All the power of heaven is at your disposal. God is in control. God is your creator. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is on the inside of you. Listen to me. Every day, this is what I do. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you think I'm crazy. I mean, half of you think that anyway. So let's just get it out there. But I'm telling you, I'm talking about what Stovall does. I focus on the goodness of God. Lord, I thank you. And then I go to the greatness. God, with you, all things are possible. Lord, you can do this. You can move in this situation. I'm not giving up on that. God, you can build that building at Bay Meadows in 9A. God, you want those 800,000 people in Jacksonville who are not in church on Sunday. You want them to be ministered to, Jesus. You came to seek and save the lost. God, you want my family on fire for you. God, you can move in this situation. You spoke the heavens into existence. You hold the world together by your power. You parted the Red Sea. You've done so many great miracles in the past. I've seen you move in my life. God, this is not too hard for you. I believe in the greatness of God. And Lord, I'm counting on you to move. Come on, man. And whenever I'm fatigued or I'm whatever, man, you know what I do? I just say, man, Jesus is on the inside of me. I can do this. Jesus is on the inside of me. I can do this. Some of you, you're in a situation right now. You need to say, Jesus is on the inside of me. I can do this. We focus on the greatness of God, but it doesn't stop there. Because how many of you have found out, like I found out, sometimes God doesn't manifest his power, let's just say, in the way that I thought it should have been done. Anybody else feeling me out there? So I'm believing God for something, but it doesn't work out that way. Or I wanted God to do this, but it worked out a different way. It's not my preference. That's why not only do we focus on the goodness of God, not only do we focus on the greatness of God, but we also focus on the glory of God. And that's why Jesus said, our Father who's in heaven, but he didn't stop there. He said what? Hallowed be thy name. That means sanctified, lifted up, glorified is your name. And so I say, Lord, but listen, my life, it isn't about Stovall. It's not about my preferences. God, above all things, I want to glorify you with my life. God, above comfort, above preference, above everything else, Lord, my heart is to glorify you. God, I thank you that I'm not only a conqueror, I'm more than a conqueror. Lord, whether you do this thing like I want you to do it or not, I'm still going to serve you and I'm still going to be grateful. And my number one goal in life is to glorify you, God, through everything that I experience. See, when you get to that place, when you can get to that place in your life where really all you want to do is glorify God, that's when the things of this world start to lose its grip on you. That's when you start to get a peace and a joy on the inside. And I'm telling you, it's hard to mess with that. Lord, if you deliver me, if you don't deliver me, I'm still going to serve you. Whether this works out like I want it to or whether it doesn't work out like I want it to, I'm still going to serve you. God, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit, Lord. God, I'm going to put you first. I'm going to keep fighting the good fight of faith. God, my life is not about me. It's about you, Jesus. Lord, take this speck life. Take this speck, this piece of dust that you love and you created. God, you designed me. You knew this is where I would be at this point in my life. God, you know the end from the beginning. Lord, I don't need to understand everything, but what I do need to do is trust you. And so, God, I choose to glorify you with my life. That's how we get spiritually dressed. That's how we start our day. We wake up and we say, God, I focus on your goodness, I focus on your greatness, and I focus on your glory. Lord, I focus on your goodness, I focus on your greatness, and I focus on your glory. Our Father, goodness, who art in heaven, greatness, hallowed be thy name, glory. Goodness, greatness, glory. Every prayer that you see the Apostle Paul pray, I could walk you right now through Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. I could walk you through the first chapter of Colossians. If you study the way the Apostle Paul prayed, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, that you could understand the breadth, the height, the depth of the love of God. Goodness. He goes on to say, and he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever what? Think or ask? Greatness. Now unto him be glory and honor forever and ever and ever. What? Glory. Every prayer that the Apostle Paul prays when he's talking about the church at large, you study it. It's about focusing on God's goodness, focusing on God's greatness, and about doing it all for the glory of God. Would you do that? Would you make a commitment? Just like you put on your, you get physically dressed tomorrow. Would you get spiritually dressed? Get the right attitude of your mind. Start your day off focusing on the goodness, the greatness, and the glory of God. I promise you it'll change your life. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for your word. Come on, I'm just going to ask everyone to stand right now. We're going to go ahead and turn the service back over to our campus pastors at our other locations. I'm just going to ask everyone to stand right now. I just want to close out in a prayer together. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Come on, are you ready to make focusing on God's goodness, greatness, and glory part of your everyday, part of your life? You got to renew the spirit, the attitude of your mind. You got to realize that's just as important. That spiritual component of getting dressed, it's just as important as you getting physically dressed. Make it a habit every single day that you get up. Father, we come to you right now. And Lord, as a church, God, we focus on your goodness, your greatness, and your glory. Father, we thank you that you love us, that we have eternal life, that all of our sins are forgiven, Lord, because we've trusted in you. God, we thank you for your greatness. Lord, with you, all things are possible. God, you can do anything. Lord, you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think or ask. We know that you have the power. But God, in your divine wisdom, we know that sometimes things don't work out like we wanted them to work out. But we know that sometimes what we prefer doesn't come to pass. We know sometimes life throws us a curveball. We experience pain, tragedy, and disappointment, things that we don't understand. So God, in all of that, we just say that we want to glorify you with our lives. Unto you be the glory, God. And Lord, when we focus on your glory, then we experience true joy. Father, we just give you all the thanks and honor. You're good, you're great, and it's for your glory, Lord. Get that deep in the hearts of your people. Lord, as we do our daily devotions every day, and I encourage you to stop by the Resource Center and pick up that Bible reading plan and get in a personal Devo group. We have resources for you out there, how to do the soap acrostic, how to spend 20 minutes with God every day in prayer and in the Word. God, help us to make time with you part of our lifestyle. We focus on your goodness, greatness, and glory. I speak a blessing over your people. We thank you for your favor in our life. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give God a big, big hand clap. Awesome.